The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
A few weeks ago, we started a series called Strong and Courageous, and we're glad you guys are here with us. If you haven't caught weeks 1 and 2, I want to encourage you to go back to our website. We do have a podcast, or you can stream it live, or whatever that, I don't know all the terminology. You can listen to it. It's recorded somewhere. It exists, okay? So, I want to just recap real quickly kind of where we've been and paint the picture of where we're going. First of all, the series is based on the fact that God has a work that he's always doing. And the nation of Israel back in the book of, in the Old Testament, today we're going to be camped out for the series in the book of Joshua. So if you want to turn to Joshua chapter 1 and put a place marker there, we also have a handout for you to follow. A few highlighted verses that we're going to be using this morning are captured there, and there's some space in your handout for you to take some notes. We want to basically look back at how God has moved through history. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even though God's ways and methods may change, what he is about is always the same. And he has a plan for us for 2013. Not just 2013, but for eternity. And my attempt this month is to really put out a rally call, asking you if you're excited and if you're ready to get on board with what God has for you as an individual and for us as a body of Christ. There are about 300 people that have started coming to Hope Hill Church. Some aren't here always at the same time, and so you'll see there are many seats empty. And half of us are, again, under the age of 18, so a lot of them are working. But God has a plan for each and every one of us, and God wants us to realize that his things are way bigger than anything that we could ever imagine. His ways are beyond ours, and he calls us to be a part of what he's doing. And his words to us from the book of Joshua are for each of us to be strong and courageous, to realize that there are things that he is calling us to do, and in and of ourselves, we cannot do them, but with him and through him, and by him, all things are possible. And we are called to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. So as we look into these stories, I want us to see real-life examples of something that happened thousands of years ago, but how they paint a picture for us to be what God wants us to be today. So as we dive into Joshua chapter 1, the first week, I wanted you to realize that God wants us to get ready, that he is already working, and he wants us to join him in that. The next thing was not to get ahead of God. Sometimes we get this great idea. We get these visions that come from God, and we want to just jump out. But many times God has a certain way and a plan that he wants us to go about doing things. And we need to be careful that we're seeking him, that we're seeking godly counsel, that we're praying together as a community, saying, God, how is it that you want us to accomplish what you have called us to do? And the next thing is to remember what God has done. There are many trials and struggles that many of you have walked through in life, and it's only God that has gotten you through many of those things. And we have to be able to look back and remember the goods and the bads and to take nuggets, if you will, or as the Israelites were challenged, to take stones out of the times of trial. They crossed a flood stage river on dry ground. God stopped the river and let the nation pass. And they were told to pick up these stones from the dry ground and to build an altar, a memorial to remember what God had done. And in our lives, God has done things to bless you, to bless me. And we need to constantly think back. God loves us. God is going to carry us through these times. God has a plan for us. And let us remember that. Last week, we took a dive in a little deeper. And we said, what is it that enables us to have this strength, to have this courage? And we looked at a couple key things. First of all, it's being grounded in God's word. God wants us to be like a tree firmly planted next to a river that is constantly nourished. And as we plant ourselves in the things of God and in his word, we will get the nourishment that we need to produce the fruit in our life that God wants us to produce. These are called the fruit of the Spirit. And without the Spirit in us, we can only do so much good. But with God, we can do the impossible. And so we looked at how the Holy Spirit is there to enable us, to give us power, to be his witnesses to this world. And so today I want us to take a step and to see a couple other key pieces that we need to realize in order for us to accomplish what God has called us to. So we're going to jump around a little bit. We're going to be kind of pulling pieces from Joshua 1 through 5. I want to encourage you, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be kind of wrapping up our series in Joshua. Read chapters 1 through 7 this week, just to kind of get a full picture of what we've been talking about, if you haven't already done so. Joshua chapter 1 through 7, and we'll be hitting a little bit of each of that today. But let's dive in. God, I want to thank you again for your word. I want to thank you for how much you love us. I want to thank you that your principles that were true thousands of years ago are still true today. And that if we put our trust in you, if we learn to seek you and turn from the things that we do in our own way that are wrong, God, that you will set our path straight and that you will enable us to do what you've called us to do. So God, help us to build our trust in you, to walk in your ways, and to let you lead us. In your name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want to let us know is that we are a body. You sit here today, and many of you have been here over the last couple years. Hope Hill Church will be celebrating its second official anniversary in about a month, February 10th. We hope you guys come back. It'll be a great day of celebration. But as God is building his church, he wants us to realize that we are each a part of one another. We are here to benefit, encourage, and enable, and build up one another so that we can together accomplish what God has called us to do. This principle was stated in Joshua chapter 1. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. Actually, I'll start with our key verse for the series, verse 9, to kind of pull us along. Joshua 1, 9 says this, "Have I not commanded you, be what?" There you go. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you where? Wherever you go." So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people to get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go into the land and take possession of the land that your God, the Lord your God, is giving you for your own." Now catch this. "To the Reubenites, to the Gadites, to half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the Lord Moses, the servant of the Lord, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all of your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest. As he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise." So basically, what's happened here is the nation of Israel was in Egypt 40 years earlier. Now, God had chosen Moses to lead the slavery, end slavery, and lead the slaves out of Egypt to the promised land. Now, this journey wasn't supposed to take 40 years, but human beings have a way of doing things on our own and not always obeying God. And so God said, "Fine, you're going to do it your way. It's going to take a little longer." And it took them 40 years to get to the promised land. And God promised them. He said, "Because you did not follow me, because you did not disobey me, because you did not obey me, many of you will not enter into the land." And so the 40 years have now passed, and Joshua is standing there. And there are 12 sons. Joseph was kind of like the father of Israel. He had 12 sons. And each of these sons had flourishing families. And they became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. And these 12 tribes are being led by Moses now. And Moses has got to a point where he can't go any longer. And he dies. And Joshua is built up by God to take leadership of the tribes. And outside the land of Jordan, I wish I had a map there. You guys know that area? Some of you are geographically challenged. I know that. But imagine a map up there, okay? So imagine a map of the area where Israel is now and a big Jordan River. What am I trying to paint a picture of? This is just kind of crazy. Can you kind of see it? Some of you are like, "What is he doing?" So anyways, to the east of the Jordan River, God promised that land and the land on the other side of the Jordan would be theirs. And there has been wars and struggles over this till this day. And it all started back then with this promise of God saying, you, my people, this will be your land. And so God said to these a couple of the tribes, the Reubenites, the tribe of Manasseh, the Gadites, that you will live here, but before you're ready to settle, I need you to help your brothers get across the land and into the rest of the land. Even though you now have arrived at your part, I still have work for you to do over here. And the key that I want us to capture here is just because you may be sitting pretty, you've achieved your goals in life, you've reached the pay scale that you hoped for so that you could retire comfortably, you've kind of gotten to your way in life where you feel like you've raised your family well and it's time to relax, God says, wait a minute, I have something for you. And I want you to catch this, that God has brought us together to be a part of the same body, to enable one another and to encourage each other and equip each other to do the work that God has called us as a body to achieve. Where do I get this from? Let's look at a couple passages of Scripture. First of all, I want you to remind you of the start of the church, basically Acts chapter 2. What's happened is Jesus spent 30 years on this earth, and during that time, He had raised up a group of believers, and he trained them and equipped them and taught them and said, as I leave and go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to leave you behind so that you can spread my love to the world. But I want you to wait. The Holy Spirit is going to come, Acts 1:8. He's going to give you power so that you can remember all the things I've taught you, so you can be my witnesses and share my love with this world. And as they did, as they became empowered by the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, they went out and started to share the truth of who God is. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following reads like this. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were being done by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord God added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want to read to you two other passages real quick that kind of capture this. The first one is from Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 says this. Actually, Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans 12, 4 says this. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given us. And he goes on to talk about the gifts. Another passage I want to point out to us real quick is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just a couple books over. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and following says this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. He goes on down to say in verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Drop down to verse 21, 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Down to 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. God is building his body. The church is not just Hope Hill. The church is not just the church here in America. The church is global and it is timeless. We are part of something bigger than ourselves, and God wants us to realize that he has a plan for his church. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this world, and we are to bring his light and his love to this world. Here, some of the brothers were told, it's not time to rest yet. You've got to help your brothers get into the land that God has for them. 20 years ago, Brandy and I were going to school together at Liberty, and we started dating, and as we began to date one another, we realized that God had placed very similar visions in both of our hearts. And one thing I want to make clear is that the vision that Brandy and I have is not our vision. It is God's vision that he has shown us, that he wants us to be a part of. I did not feel called just to plant a church. Hope Hill Church started 2 years ago. Brandy and I had been praying for 20 years that God would show us when the right time would be to plant a church. But just planning a church that would meet in a school with a few hundred people attending is not the vision that God has given us. God has given us a vision that we are to be a part of changing this world. And not just reaching a neighborhood, but reaching a nation. And we cannot do it alone. Some of you have come to us and you've said at times, wow, it's so great to see what your church is doing. Hello, this is your church. It's so great to see what our church is doing together. Do you get what I'm saying? How many of you would say, this is my church? Raise your hand. How many of you say, I'm not sure, but I'm praying? Okay, well, I appreciate your saying that. God is building his church. This is not John and Brandy's church. This is not TJ and Crest's church. This is not Mike and Donna Conley's church. This is God's church, and we are all a part of it. And it is amazing to begin to get a glimpse of what he is calling us to do. We would drive from Liberty, which is down in Lynchburg, Virginia, and we would try to find a shortcut every time we'd come up because driving back and forth is hard. One of the best routes we found would bring us through Culpeper to 28, to Aiden Road, up to 234. And so we would make this cut at times, and as we prayed often that God would help us to see what he wanted us to do. And the glimpses, the pictures of what he showed us was a group of people gathered together as a community that would be willing to use whatever resources that God had blessed them with to bless those around us that were without. And not just a church, but an organization that would come in and help the needy, that would heal the sick, that would bring hope to the hopeless in the form of counseling centers, in the form of a place that would give therapy to those in need, that would offer hope through the gospel, but also hope through counseling and dealing with real needs like we just prayed with for Nathaniel. We saw not just a building like stained glass windows in a cathedral, and many times you've heard me say, I'm not sure if Hope Hill will ever have a church building on some corner somewhere. But I know that in order to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, I know that there's a lot more in store for us. I know that we're going to need land to be able to house the kind of hope houses that we dream of, places that would be care centers to take in people, battered wives, teenagers who need help, residential treatment programs, places that would be a shelter for those in need, food pantries like the ones that are beginning in Forest Park Community. These are all just bits and pieces of the way that we can be the hands and feet of Christ. And these things aren't 10, 20 years down the road. They are beginning even now. And a lot of these things are happening because you all are coming together and you're not resting, but instead you're realizing there is more work that God wants us to do together. And that's what God has for us. He is calling us to be the body that will enable us as a community to do the things that he has called us to do in this area. There's one family that lives in this community, Maria and Gary Palman. Maria is running sound in the back. Is Gary in here? Is he helping out somewhere? He's right over here. They were working in Fairfax, helping plant a Spanish church. They came here like a year ago, right before Thanksgiving, and Gary called me up and said, what is your church all about? We talked for a while, and he said, why don't you come out to our house and have lunch with us. If you ever get invited to their house, don't say no. Maria can cook, okay? It's amazing. And we went out there, and I was amazed. It's out off Aiden Road, where Brandy and I had driven many times. And they own 40 acres of land out there. And Gary and Maria began to tell us that God led us to buy this land 4 years ago. And God has told us that this land is to be used by God for his purpose. We're not sure what that looks like, but we want you to know that we want to pray with you about Hope Hill possibly using this in some way. And so we don't know even where to begin, but we know that God is giving us glimpses and pictures of things that he has for our future. And we want you to join us in saying, God, what does this mean? How can all of this be brought together to be a part of what you want to have happen in this area? Are you willing to pray with us about that? Are you?
Yes.
Okay, a couple of you are. What about the rest of you? There is so much more that God wants to do if we just trust in him. We are one body. We need to support each other. The second thing I want to point out to you today is that God's work will be noticed. When God works, people will notice. All right, Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Look at that real quick. What's just happened is God has told the Israelites that there's a land, there's a vision I've given you. I want you to trust me. You don't know how you're going to get there. You don't know how you're going to be able to get through. There's a lot of scary things. There's a lot of unknown. And he said, follow me because you have never been this way before. Trust me. And so God is saying to them, get ready to cross the land. And so the people groups are hearing about this nation of Israel coming. The stories are spreading of the work that God is doing amongst the people. And God, they've heard that somehow this God of Israel is leading his people into our land. And here it says in Joshua 5:1, now when the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Now, this is a wartime that's going on. And the point that I want you to see here is that when God begins to work, people will notice. Now, we're not in a wartime like that in the same kind of way, but there is a war going on. And God calls us to follow him, to trust in him. And when we put our trust in him and do his work, others will see. Matthew 5:16, one of my favorite verses, says this, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. How many of you have helped out with one of our free sales or our backpack giveaways or the way that we have adopted families? A lot of you have done things. Many of you saw God working in that and are here now today because of that. There are 80 people who have come to be a part of the Hope Hill community that have given their lives to Christ in the last 2 years. And many of them came because they saw the good work that we were doing and it got their focus. Your church is a little different. You mean you're not holding a church service on Sunday? Now, sometimes God calls us to go out and serve the community on Sundays. You'll come here sometimes and we won't be here on a Sunday because God has given us a vision or a direction to go and be a part of his hands and feet somewhere else. But when we go out and we live the way God wants us to live, others will see and they will come to know our God in heaven and come to glorify him. That's what God has for us. God will be noticed when we do his work. The next thing I want to point out to you today is that one way or another, God will provide. Let me take you back to Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. Joshua chapter 5, basically what's happening is they're getting ready to, they've just crossed the Jordan River, but they see this huge fortified city in front of them, the land of Jericho. And we're going to get into Jericho next week. But they see this huge fortified city ahead of them, and they're not sure how they're going to get past this city. The city is huge. And God takes them, and in the plains of Jericho, it says, verse 10, Joshua 5:10, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal, on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. for a while here in Exodus 16. If you have time on your own later, you can go back to Exodus 16 and you will see how once the people of Israel were led out of the nation of Egypt, they had no food. They were wandering around in this desert, and God said, I will provide for you. And God manifested this flaky food that would land on the ground, and the people would go and gather it. And they didn't know what it was called, and so they said, what is it? And that's what they ended up calling it. Look, it's what is it? That's what manna means. What is it? And God would send the manna. And he was very particular. He said, I'm going to care for you, but I'm going to test you. I want you to learn to depend on me. And I want you to each and every day go out and gather what you need for that day. I will meet your needs day in and day out. And God took care of them. And they learned to depend on God during that 40 years. But he said, I'm going to provide this for you until you get to the land that I am promising you. So for 40 years, they had ate the manna of the land. And they come up to this part where as they're ready to go into the land of Canaan, they're now camped on the plains of this enemy city. And what I want you to see here is that, first of all, God will be with us, even in the midst of trial. They're here camped on the plains of Gilgal, and even there, God is with them. But God stops the manna at that point. And that is the first day that they go from eating just what God has provided to eating the produce of the land. In a very similar way, Hope Hill Church is transferring over from being able to eat the manna of God. In our first year, we were given more than $100,000 to start this church from outside supporters. And the second year, the funds were reduced a little. Now, as we enter our third year, we are now kind of entering the phase where the manna from God is going to change, where God is not necessarily going to be dropping gifts from outside, but needs us to learn what it means to be self-supporting and stand up on our own. And so as we begin to work the land, like they were told, as you go into the land of Canaan, it's going to produce, it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. It will, but you will need to work it. In the same way, we need to realize that there's work that we need to do together. We talked about money about a year ago. I don't like to talk about money yet, but the truth is we live in America. You need money to make things happen. And as a church, we have been blessed. This building, the school building, cost us about $3,000 a month to rent it, to use it. Some of you thought we got it for free, but we don't. But because you give, we are able to meet here. This is my full-time job. I counsel people during the week. I meet with many various teams to be able to pull off all that we do in and out of church. And so your gifts pay for my salary. And I am blessed because of you, I'm able to do what God has called me to do. But there is so much more that God is calling us to do. And every single month, it costs us about $25,000 to make all the ends meet. And I don't worry, I don't walk away with a $200,000 salary. I make about $70,000 a year. But everything else that we do, and the part-time staff we have, it all has to be paid for. And if we together will take on the burden, the responsibility, and many of you have already partnered with us in that way. Some of you give every single week. Some of you give financially every single month. And we are grateful. It's because of you that we can do what we do. But God has so much more. And I believe that God will not only provide the manna, but he will also provide the fruit as we work the ground. And as together we come together and realize there's work for us to do, God will provide the resources we need. And so our hope is that you'd be willing to step up and say, God has blessed me. How can I be a blessing to the body? And my hope and prayer is that you would let God lead you and you would respond accordingly. The next thing, as I close today, I want you to see is that not only will God provide, but God will be with us. Some of the opening passage, it ended by saying, and I will be with you wherever you go. God will be with us. Joshua was reminded by a very powerful vision. Not just a vision, a presence. Look at Joshua chapter 5 with me. This will be our closing passage for today. Joshua chapter 5. So they're getting ready to cross into the land. They are getting ready to face Jericho. And as Joshua has told the people, God has provided for us the manna, but now he wants us to start working the land and taking care of ourselves, but he's going to provide. he knows the next thing is right ahead of him. And as he looks to Jericho, this is what he sees. Verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or are you against us?" "Neither," he replied, "but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell to his face, fell down on the ground in reverence, and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. I'm going to throw a big word at you. This is called a Christophany. Can you say that with me? A Christophany. A Christophany is the manifestation of Jesus Christ himself in the Old Testament. Many theologians believe that this was Jesus. He isn't born yet. This is 1,000 years before Jesus has even been born by the Virgin Mary. But there are many pictures of Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 3. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar looks in and he says, "They're not dying. And how many do we throw in there again? Three? Well, why is there a fourth one? And the fourth one looks like the Son of Man." When we stand up for God, God will stand up for us. When we let God lead us, God promises to be with us wherever we go. And here, God in the form of man stands before Joshua with the sword in his hand. Now, Jesus just isn't a peace-loving sheep lover, okay? We have a God who is a warrior. And God is standing there with a sword in his hand, and I, as the commander of the armies of heaven, will lead you. He says, "I'm not for you or your enemies. This isn't your war. This isn't your enemy's war. This is my plan." And we need to realize that what we're here doing isn't ours, our plan. This is God's vision. And God doesn't sit here and say, "I'm not for you. You should be for me." And that's what he says here. Joshua walks up and says, are you for me or against me?" "Neither. You're for me." And God sits here today and says, "Are you for me? Are you for the work that I want to do through Hope Hill? Are you for the work that I want to do to reach Prince William County? Are you here to follow me as I want to use you and this church to be a part of the church I am building to change this world?" And my hope and prayer is that you're ready to say yes. We're here to be on board. We don't know exactly how God wants to use us yet, but we're here to be his hands and feet, and we want to be united with Hope Hill. We want to be used to take hold of the vision and the land that God is leading us to. My hope and prayer is that you would consider that and you would say yes, we're on board. Let's bow and pray. I want to ask you a couple things as we close this morning. First of all, some of you have been close friends to Brandy and I. And many of you have often come and have provided for our needs as a family. And we are very grateful for that. What I want to ask of you is that you would start to see not just the good work that John and Brandy are trying to do, but the work of God that's before us. Brandy and I, we love doing what we do. But we want to see God do more amazing things through you. We want to stand together with you and know that God is using us to change this world. And as we stand together and let God lead us, we will be blown away. So you're sitting there this morning, and you may be sitting there like clueless. Well, how am I going to help? The first thing is that you would simply say, "God, I'm here and I'm willing." And God will begin to lead you and to show you how you're to be used by him. You sit there this morning and say, "God, I don't know how. I don't even know why I'm in this school building this morning. But God led you here for a purpose. And my hope would you would just be willing to say, "God, open my heart. Show me what you have for me. Show me how you want to use me," and that you would just respond in obedience. "God, here I am, send me. Here I am, use me." If you're sitting here this morning and you would say, "You know what? it's all good. I like the way you help others and take care of others, but I don't even know if there's a God. I don't even know if I believe in this Jesus stuff. My encouragement to you would be just to say this to God. God, if you're real, show me. Jesus, if you're really who they say you are, reveal yourself to me. And I believe that if you honestly seek after God with your whole heart, He will show you who He is. He will open up your mind and help you to believe in Him. Because He loves you and believes in you. So God, I pray right now for what you're calling us to do. I pray now for God, what lies ahead of us. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us, whether we are a believer right now or not, each and every one of us, God, would be pulled closer to you and realize that you love us, that you have a plan for us, that you want to use us as a body to do mighty things in your name. So, God, I pray that as we sit here this morning, as we take the next few moments just to think about the things we've heard this morning, that we would open up our hearts and minds to whatever it is you're calling us to do. God, I pray that you would help us to be willing to take that step of faith. If God, you're leading some of us to say, you know what, we need to start giving financially, God, that you would give the strength for that family to take that step of faith. God, if it is somebody in this room that owns a business and they would say, you know, our business wants to get behind the work and the efforts that you're doing through Hope Hill, God, that they would be willing to take that step. God, whatever it might be, Lord, show us how you want to use us. And God, most importantly, I pray for those in this room who don't know you, that their hearts would be open to you, that your Holy Spirit would move, that you would draw each and every one of us, helping us to realize that you died on a cross to pay for our sins, to offer us forgiveness, that you would come and make us new. So God, I pray for those who need to receive your love at this time, that they would just open up their life to you and to be made new. As you think about those things, we want to take the time over the next few moments to realize that all of this is possible for one reason. Because Jesus Christ had his body broken and his blood shed for you and I. And here at Hope Hill Church, each week, we remember that by taking a piece of bread as a symbol of God's body broken for us on a cross, and in the body of his son, Jesus Christ. As his body was broken, his blood was shed, and we take that piece of bread and we dip it in a cup of juice to remember the blood shed for us. And as we eat that, let us remember Christ's death until he comes. You also may be being challenged this morning and you would like to just pray about this. And we invite you just to take this time just to pray with God. I will be up in front here if you would like to pray with me. We also have some individuals in the back if you would like to pray with them. I encourage you just to respond as you feel led. God has an amazing work that he wants to do through us. Will we allow him to do so? God, move through us. Use us. God, lead us. In your name we pray. Amen.